Welcome back to the Social Currency Marketing Podcast. Thanks, as always, for being here. I am Jess Jensen, and with me, my friend Tuck Ross. How are you?
Jess, good. Hey, we're recording live next to each other here from the Social Media Marketing Conference, Social Media Marketing World 2019 here in San Diego, and we've been enjoying this event. So much learning, so much education coming out of it, and it's really just this mecca of social media marketers coming together over the last few days to really talk about what is driving the industry forward.
Yeah. And I always feel like at these conferences, especially the good ones like this one, I'm overwhelmed by how much good information there is. And even though, you know, we do this for a living and you feel like some days of the week, you kind of know what you're doing, you go to these conferences and there are just so many great ideas. And there's so many different discussions happening in tandem. Everything from, you know, YouTube, LinkedIn, of course, Facebook comes up, video content creation, relationship marketing, so many good topics here.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk, you know, just about what did we pick up? What are some good cross category learnings? Because there is so much, and treat this a little bit of like, you know, hey, we've got our takeaways at the end of an episode. Usually this is our takeaways from the event. And so what are some first things that you took out of what you heard this week?
Yeah, well, so Mike Stelzner, who's the CEO and founder of Social Media Examiner, and that's the entity that puts on Social Media Marketing World Conference, which is where we are, annual conference, again, here in San Diego, California. Mike is one that we interviewed a couple of episodes ago on the Social Currency podcast. So we love him. We're a big fan. He got up and did, of course, the opening keynote this morning. And, you know, he focused a lot on Facebook. And we know this from a lot of the content he's been sharing the last few months. He leans in pretty heavily to understanding and kind of dissecting what's going on Facebook, whether it's, you know, organic reach, the algorithm, video, et cetera. And so one of the things that he really leaned into for this opening keynote was this notion of Facebook becoming less and less open. And Tuck and I were sitting there listening to it and thinking to ourselves, is this the beginning of the discussion around Facebook leaning toward a messaging approach versus a newsfeed approach?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think we've talked a little bit about this and thinking about what happens when they merge the back ends of those platforms and, you know, they're becoming more private messaging focused. And is there a privacy thing and everything else? But there's just a lot of opportunity with thinking about what does Facebook become next? Because they are still the biggest ad platform. They have so much potential. What do we do with that?
Yeah. So he didn't specifically get into the shift toward messaging, which we've talked about a little bit on the podcast to date. But he did talk a lot about shifting from the feed over to Facebook stories. And we know that we're seeing this on Instagram. So this isn't a surprising pivot for them to make on Facebook as well. He also talked about just the massive shift that Facebook is about to make. And he quoted an article from The Atlantic saying that by 2020, Facebook will be unrecognizable. So it's actually kind of fun for us, as the interview was with Mike Stelzner, to sort of observe someone who's really been watching a certain platform really closely for a long, long time and have him kind of review the history of where it's been and then predict where he thinks it's going to go.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So one of the things I thought was interesting was during the keynote where he was talking, there was this section about video. And we've talked a lot about video. Video is everything. Video, video, video. And we have a few, you know, episodes, one dedicated specific to that, because we do believe it's such a big piece of what's coming. So I thought one of the interesting, you know, set of statistics that they shared is around how brands are using video and the fact that all of us should be leaning in on video specifically. Only 38% of brands are regularly using Instagram stories, 49% regularly using live video, and 57% regularly using YouTube, right? Very low numbers in terms of where we're seeing consumers engage, which is around video, especially around mobile, and where we're actually seeing brands participate. The participation levels are very low based on what we're seeing. And so there's a huge opportunity for brands to lean in on video, activate more specifically, especially around live video, and drive the funnels with that engaging type of media.
Yeah, and we were laughing to ourselves because, again, he was talking so much about going live and, you know, what are you all afraid of? And here, you know, here is this body of thousands of digital marketers all in the same room. And how many of you actually have gone live yourself? And when we left the keynote, we saw all of these people in the hallway, like immediately pull out their selfie sticks and start to go live and record themselves on video. And I think we all have, you know, that understanding that that video is very compelling. It's very human. Again, it gives the audio and the visual, which everyone loves. And live is even better, right? Because it's raw and imperfect. We've talked about this so much on the podcast already, but it's kind of funny when the very people who should be experts and super comfortable with it are actually still struggling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but it goes back to that, you know, especially with the way the algorithms are treating video now, it is one of the most primary pieces that you can put, especially around native video, which again, most engaging pieces around live video, that that ephemeral, am I saying that right? I always mess it up. Thank you. The FOMO aspect of live video, all the pieces that go into that. And by the way, then in other sessions, learning about how you pick up those consumers later on retargeting through GDN or retargeting through messenger bots and other Facebook advertising, you know, levers that enable you to then turn on ad sequencing to draw your consumer into your product or service.
Yeah. And speaking of video, you know, one of the reasons that we're here is we were actually kind of emceeing one of the tracks, as they call it. And the room that I found myself in was predominantly about YouTube, actually. So I ended up sitting through quite a few sessions on YouTube, which is really interesting. I don't spend as much time as I should thinking about YouTube, frankly. And obviously we talked about, you know, it's the number two search engine on the planet. Clearly, it's a huge source of how-to and informational videos for people. And so I took away some interesting just sort of tidbits, some of them more tactical, some of them more strategic around YouTube. Were you in a few of those as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Did anything stand out to you specifically around, you know, things that you didn't already know walking in the door around YouTube?
Yeah. I thought one of the great ones from Nick Nimmons, who, if you guys haven't checked him out, is a YouTube expert trainer. His whole business is built around getting people onto YouTube. One of the stats that I pulled out that I actually tweeted was over 80% of YouTube videos actually viewed on mobile. So he said, make sure it's for mobile first. And even if, like, don't film it vertical necessarily, make sure it's horizontal, because that was one of the questions that came back, because people are going to flip their phone sideways anyways. But the fact that you need to be treating it so that when people are watching it, that they're getting that information out of there, that the actions are driven on mobile and optimized for mobile, because that's the primary view, you know, viewing destination for most people these days.
Yeah. Yeah. And for sure, mobile is everything. There's no question about that. I heard some other good tips from Nick around, you know, again, what's in it for them. Think about your audience. We've talked about that before, kind of reverse engineer out from the audience's perspective and what's going to be useful to them when you're creating the content, keeping it simple, consistency in channel art. So we saw some great examples of some YouTubers who did not such a good job of consistency, whether it's, you know, font size, font color, font itself, is their face in the screen, what's the background look like, all those details matter, versus some great examples of folks that were really consistent. And even if it's something relatively, let's call it, not as sexy of an industry. So for example, providing, information to law students about how to prepare for the LSAT, or to pass the bar. Or there was another one that was around, I think it was a police officer who was doing like sort of walkthroughs inside police cars and like talking about all the details of what's in, like an official police car. So, I mean, it could be any industry or any kind of tutorial, but the idea was that when you looked at their YouTube channels, they were really consistent and you knew exactly within like a second who you were actually going to see.
Yeah. I think that's it. You know, and I want to touch on one of the first points you made there about the consumer and thinking about your consumer. One of the common thematics of everything that we heard here is something that we've been preaching for a while, but very consistent, is keeping your customer in focus, thinking about who are they, what are their pain points, and trying to solve for that. And then there's tools around how you do that, whether it's looking at, you know, the predictive search pieces or looking at your analytics or looking at where people are browsing. But going back to really thinking about your customer, what do they want? What are they looking for? And no matter what channel you're on, that being the trigger for then how you think about what you build for your content or your advertising campaign or how you structure, you know, your lead generation funnel and all the pieces that go into that. I thought one of the really interesting points in the LinkedIn session that I was in with John Nemo, who originally started out on a certain specific angle with LinkedIn and then got broader and now actually trains people on how to modify their LinkedIn, was most of us build our LinkedIn profiles thinking about ourselves, right? It's me, here's who I am and writing it like a resume. Mm-hmm. And his point was, you're not thinking about your consumer in that environment and flipping around and saying, what do you offer somebody who that if they see their profile, that activates them, right? Yeah. And that person then knows specifically what you do and then can make a choice on whether that's something that they want to engage with or not. Mm-hmm. But they're always thinking about themselves. So thinking about tuning your message for them and not about you.
Yeah. And so that applies to all social, right? All digital.
And all brands, right? Because brands are so myopic in thinking about, I am the brand. Yes. I am going to tell you who I am.
Very traditional.
And thinking about, you know, the consumer has the brand control now. And so what is the brand offering of value to them? Turning that message so that it's offering it to the consumer as opposed to what the brand necessarily wants to be.
And this goes back to the discussions we've had before about the notion of don't use social as a push medium. Don't use it as a PR channel to just broadcast out a message that is important to you. We know, you know, working for large companies that there's moments where you need to do that. And that's just the reality of being part of a large corporation. But certainly if you're an entrepreneur and you have the ability to make those choices, as much as possible, try to put out content that's, again, that reverse engineer thinking, what's going to be interesting to your audience and be of service to them? Because ultimately that's going to pay you back.
Yeah. And it's about getting them to faster too. So a lot more discussion this time than I've ever heard about instant gratification and making it very easy for the consumer to pick a path for two reasons. One is that everybody wants everything instant, which is why everything is going mobile, which is why everything is going, how many ways can you help them reduce choice? Because of that, you know, we know that choice slows down. If you can help people get rid of that conscious thought of what do I need to do next and actually give them guidance, whether it's as simple as putting an arrow on the button to help them know that it's next.
Right.
Or in one of the e-commerce sessions, it was one action per screen. Don't give them so many things to do. Yeah. Help reduce and make it very clear about what you want them to do next. I thought that was super interesting from that fact of this instant gratification, but also removing friction and making it very clear what you want them to do next.
Yeah. I mean, and it goes back to the notion of have a clear call to action and keep it simple. And that's kind of classic marketing best practices, but now we're just seeing it applied in a very granular way when it comes to digital. Another one that I thought was useful was, like, these sound so simple, but again, I can speak from my own experience. There's lots of companies and myself included as an individual, I don't always have either the bandwidth or the forethought or the budget or the ability to do these things perfectly. But just think about serialization, right? Think about building content. Maybe it's 4, 5, 6 pieces that all go together. They all have one theme and then tee it up. So at the end of one video, you're saying, hey, come back for, you know, number two, and you're going to hear more about XYZ, connect the dots to your point about leading them almost with an arrow to click on the next video in that series. Because one of the things that we heard a lot about, and Daryl Eves spoke to this from a YouTube metrics perspective as well, is that what YouTube really optimizes for, what they really care about, is watch time. So while they're tracking everything, right, they're tracking likes and dislikes and starts and searches and all those things, they're looking at the watch time of a video or a series of videos. And the more watch time you have as a brand or an individual, entrepreneur, whatever, the more that your stuff's going to get served up in their algorithm because they deem it as valuable to the audience. And of course, they want you to stay on YouTube longer because then they can serve you more ads.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it goes back to the concept, which again, repeat it, but right message, right person, right time. And Alana Wexler from Green Arrow Digital spoke to this a little bit and how the platforms really give us the opportunity, especially with that level of targeting that we have available now, to get the right message to the right person at the right time, and the platform delivering the right person at the right time.
Yeah.
And your creative actually, you know, is the right message. And then the platform being able to deliver that, and then you being able to optimize against that to get, you know, the sales or conversions that you're looking for.
And that's the cool part with these platforms. We've been talking a lot about YouTube, but we know that many of the others give you this kind of data, but you can see things like drop off, where in a video people leave. You can literally watch the video next to a line chart that shows the drop off. And so like all of a sudden we know, again, especially if you have a little bit of a sample size and you start to kind of go, okay, where's the pattern? Am I going too long? Is it where, you know, I zoom in on a specific topic too long? You know, you can start to really, not that you want to ever remove all of the creativity out of marketing, because part of what we do is the creative part. It's the fun part. It's the art aspect of it. But the idea of using data to drive optimization when you are going to create new pieces of content, love it. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe we switch gears a little bit. I know we heard a couple of other good speakers, one of which was Jessica Phillips. She was, she kind of talked a lot about relationship marketing, which was a little bit of a pivot from where we were with video and kind of the platform data side of the house. But one of the things that I heard her mention, and actually Mike Stelzner mentioned as well, which we talk a lot about in my world, is this notion of vanity metrics not mattering. In fact, her quote was, vanity metrics should be ignored, and what you should be counting are conversations.
So what's a vanity metric, real quick? Like, what would someone say is a vanity metric?
Yeah, thank you. So the way I often define vanity metrics are, or activity metrics, sometimes they're called, are like engagements, impressions, likes, video views, right? So it's the actions that a person can take when they're on a digital platform. I often, we've talked about this way back in the day when we had our kind of analytics and insights and measurement episode, but I often will use vanity or activity metrics as a proxy,
okay,
sort of to say, this is lending me to think that because these vanity metrics are up, or versus year ago, they're higher, or whatever, versus benchmark, they're higher. Therefore, that's going to eventually drive brand health metrics like brand awareness, brand favorability, brand association. And we know from lots of Nielsen research that those are actually associated with eventual business impact.
Yeah.
There's a lot of assumptions that we're making there. And so I think it's really great to hear these thought leaders reiterate this notion of like, guys, get away from the vanity metrics. It's not actually what you should be measuring.
Yeah. And I think it's a good point that they're more like signposts, but they're not going to be your core KPIs or key performance indicators, you know, in terms of driving your business. You know, on the point about Jessica, with a K, Jessica Phillips, you know, I think one of the things that was cool was her model called the CARE model, C-A-R-E. And the first piece being capture attention, the second one being articulate the message, the third one being about build relationships, which is where the R comes from, and the fourth one really being about exceptional experience and how do you deliver that. And, you know, when all of us talk about where do you hire from, right? And where do you look for business from? All of us know that word of mouth is the best qualifier. Mm-hmm. If you hear something from a friend, mm-hmm. if I hear something from a friend, I'm going to be like, twice as likely to ever go to that place versus somewhere. And in the contrary, like if someone says that place was terrible, I will literally never go there no matter how good a review anybody else says, because someone I know that I trust has disqualified it, right? So that relationship becomes a referral system. And when you look at building that properly, social especially enables us to do that, but you have to think about it as relationships, not in the number stack like you just talked about.
Yeah. And one of the things that she said that I also loved related to that topic is she said, show, don't tell. This allows your audience to tell the story on your behalf. And so to your point about word of mouth and referrals being so vital, if you as a brand or a small company or an entrepreneur do a good job of showing, demonstrating what it is that you do or sell, then if you've got relationships with your followers and fans and subscribers, ideally they will take what you've shown and they'll tell their own story. Sort of journalistic, right?
It's right, like, right.
Hey, go out and be my influencers, be my journalist, tell the story on my behalf, make it your own. That's way more powerful because your friends and your followers are going to pay attention to you.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of kind of plant some seeds, give them the visuals or the nuggets of the story, but you don't need to do everything.
Yeah. And I thought a great quote from Amanda Bond, who was in one of the sessions about Facebook advertising. She has she's CEO of her own agency, The Ad Strategist. Her comment was, look, you can't put likes or comments into a bank account. Mm-hmm. So don't even like try, because that's not where the money comes from, right? Those are guideposts, but they're not ultimately what you're after.
Yeah.
So don't get hung up on them, because it's not ultimately what you're trying to go for in terms of your business.
Yeah, agreed. And there's another dialogue that kind of came up in another session around the notion of bringing marketing and sales together that I loved. And it kind of tapped into what you just said, which is around this notion of, where social marketing actually becomes truly valuable to the business is when it actually starts to sell things. And it doesn't have to be a direct e-commerce situation, but it needs to actually bridge the gap between marketing and sales. And often it doesn't. Often it's a little fluffier and sort of top of the funnel, if you will, type metrics, awareness, and those things. And I think that's sometimes where, marketing in general can kind of get a bad rap from the folks that own the P&L that run the business units, because it's sort of like you feel it in your body that it's probably the right thing to do. But if you can't really measure it or connect the dots, it's just harder to justify increased spend or a higher percentage of your overall budget toward it.
Yeah. And it goes back to the fact that like brands are a foreign object in social. It was built for people. And you see where Facebook's modifying. They're about conversation and community and connection. And they want brands to pay for that, because it is almost like a punishment that brands are participating in that space that is built for people. And unless you're engaging that way, it becomes very expensive for you to engage, because you're not participating like a human. You're not building the relationships. Mm-hmm. If you're acting too much like a brand, if you're acting as the megaphone, if you're acting as this is an outbound channel only and not mm-hmm. building that relationship, then you will have to pay for it.
Yeah. And so kind of like up-leveling, more 10,000 feet view. One of the other speakers that I heard who I had been hoping to see for quite a long time was Brian Solis. And, he's kind of a pundit thought leader in the social media content strategy world. And he has a new book out. And so he was kind of playing off of some of the things that he writes about in that book. And it really was taking this idea of, this notion of relationships and sort of humanity and kind of turning it on its head. And we've touched on this a little bit in our podcast, however, with some of the Cal Newport digital minimalism discussion we had. However, we haven't gone super deep, and Brian went really deep, but a couple of highlights really were this idea of, attention is a commodity, and we've talked about, we live in this attention economy now, and all these platforms are built very, very specifically so that they keep our attention and also give us these sort of intermittent rewards to keep us coming back, very much like a drug, right?
Yep.
Talks about that.
Yep.
And I love this quote. He says, "No one gave us an operating manual for how to live this way." And what he was referring to was, our generation really is the first generation that is being raised in this digital economy, in this attention economy, where we're having to learn how to use these platforms and all the ways we just talked about.
Yeah.
As part of our everyday life, and certainly part of the marketing mix, and really any business that wants to grow is thinking about these things. But our parents couldn't teach us any of this.
Right.
Raised to
right.
know how to act this way
right.
on digital properties. So kind of like, what is the end game here? Like what is it eventually going to evolve to, and how do we sort of balance what we know we need to be good at as business owners and entrepreneurs, which is we know we need to be good at digital. We can't ignore it. It is woven into our everyday lives, but how do we balance that with sort of that humanity and that relationship building that we know is actually probably the most valuable piece of everything that we're doing?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's interesting to see how that evolves, right? Because it's going to be interesting to see how the space evolves, because we are the product as people in these platforms, and the attention is the currency, and brands want that space, and there's only so much time for it, which is why video is so important, because people only have so much time to consume anything. And if they're leaning into video, they only have so much time for video, and whose videos are they watching? Mm-hmm. And YouTube being a primary channel for that, but also on Facebook as well. How do you think about all of these pieces working together,
yep.
especially as email starts to decline and other spaces change? Social becomes so much more of a priority, because that's where people are spending their attention, on their phone, engaging with their friends on a daily basis. And you want to be in that space as well.
Yeah. And, one of the things that Brian mentioned was this notion of cognitive load. So this idea that your subconscious is keeping mental tabs. And as you have more and more and more and more and more things trying to pull at your attention, and multitasking and thinking that you're so efficient that it's actually depleting your mental resources. And so this goes back to content strategy. And again, the notion of video is a great example. Same with going live, right? On stories or otherwise. How do you cut through the clutter? Because there is so much stimuli, and we've never had so many messages in any era of humanity,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and so how
yeah.
do you, as a business owner, entrepreneur, marketer, how do you cut through that, whether it's video because it's got the humanity of the face and the voice, whether it's live because it feels authentic. You know, what are the creative ways that you can sort of be unique in this sort of sea of zeros and ones?
Yeah. Well, and live creates an urgency, right? Because it's happening right now. You don't want to miss on that. And video, because there's so much, you know, immersiveness to it that you want to dedicate time to that. Mm-hmm. But again, it goes back to what you said at the beginning, right? Like, keep it simple. And for what we're talking about, reduce choice and keep it easy. One click per page, whatever it is, to help people, you know, when they do have a moment with you, to make it easy for them to understand how to transact with you, if that's ultimately what they want to do, or even just start a relationship, because that's really where it starts first.
Yeah. Yeah. So many good things.
Okay. So I have a highlight that mm-hmm. I wanted to share. I've been watching this guy, Roger the Plumber, Roger the Expert Plumber, on LinkedIn. And he was actually here. And it was funny because if you guys aren't aware of him, he's literally a plumber in Dallas, right outside of Dallas. And I actually got his personal story because I've been watching him, you know, evolve, and he films video 3 times a week and he's out there all the time. And he was one of the first ones to get LinkedIn Live access, which is a very limited release beta. And so, you know, I was chatting him up and just, you know, kind of what was the story. He was actually at this event a year ago, and that's where he started. He had zero concept of social media, marketing, anything else. He was just excited about it, and he wanted to learn. And so he found out, he literally walked in and bought a ticket off the street.
That's awesome.
Walked into the event, and the Sunday after the event, he spent all day just tuning up his whole plan. Yeah. That Monday went to his team and said, hey, we're filming 3 videos a week. We are all in on social, and went from there. And so it's only been a year. This guy has ramped hard and put himself fully into this, all in, fully dedicated. And it's just exciting to see, because it goes to the concept that no matter what you're doing, especially in this space, you have to be fully committed to it. And there is opportunity when you are, because his concept has ramped, right? So he's gone beyond plumbing to now where people are asking them how to do marketing, how to do social media.
That's
and
amazing.
So he's turning it into a marketing consulting opportunity, right?
And
helping people grow their own businesses.
Yeah.
And by the way, talking to other plumbers who are asking him, how do you even do this? And would you even help me, because we're competitors? And he's like, sure, because he knows that he's all in.
Yeah.
And likely they're not probably going to be all in the same level too.
Yeah.
So they're not really even competing at that.
Well,
it's
an additional revenue stream, right? Like, now he basically
can
train other people how to be good at what he's good at.
Yeah. So I was excited to hear that story, because, you know, seeing him grow and learn and evolve, and now him sitting, you know, at one of the top stacks of LinkedIn video, and having him, like, LinkedIn reached out to him and said, hey, do you want to be part of this?
Yeah.
Because they love what he's doing, is so cool to see.
Well, and to, you know, to a point that Mike Stelzner made in the interview we had with him a few weeks back, it's not too late to get in.
Never.
You know, and you made this comment that the age range of people that are here is actually really pretty wide. It's cool. Like, I remember going to these kinds of conferences, again, even 5 years ago, let alone before that. And, you know, it was consumer facing brands with big budgets, sexy sort of lifestyle, art, food, clothing, that kind of thing. And little by little, you saw it evolve to be more B2B. Then you saw it evolve to be a little bit more small business. Now we're seeing plumbers and lawyers and healthcare and financial services and small to large companies. I mean, everybody is recognizing that I need to be good at this, and I'm not afraid to ask. And it's not too late to get started. So that was a great takeaway. If I'm a business owner listening to this podcast right now, and I feel like, oh my God, it's 2019 and I still don't really know how to use Instagram, I've missed the boat, or I don't have a YouTube strategy.
Right.
It's not too late.
Right. I mean, he literally started ground zero, you know, last year, and kicked into it, and, you know, learned along the way. But again, he's doing his thing now. One of the sessions we were sitting in, this literally like 90-year-old farmer gets up with the flannel and the suspenders on, creaks over to the mic, and talks about how he's running a Facebook group.
So cool.
For all these farmers.
Yeah.
And engaging with a nationwide community about agriculture and different, you know, tips and traits that you can do. So it's never too late.
Yeah.
There's no subject that's off limits.
Right.
And there's always an audience, depending on what your niche is, that you can reach in these spaces, which I think is so cool, and why there's an opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I'm learning a lot. It's kind of cool in many ways that, like, again, being that we do this for a living, there's still so much greenfield. There's still so much area that we haven't covered in our careers to date. And so we're happy to share what, you know, kind of the highlights were. And hopefully this has been really helpful to everyone that's listening. But highly recommend Social Media Marketing World. I would definitely send, you know, folks from my team and anyone that's listening that wants to kind of get involved with this space and, again, doesn't know how to approach it because it can feel so big and broad. This is a great concentration of really smart people talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've had an interview with Michael Stelzner. If you want to know more about him, check out that episode. If you guys are looking for more about Social Media Marketing World, just search that. We'll also put the link in the show notes.
Yep.
And it's run by Social Media Examiner, which Michael Stelzner started. So, you know, you guys are familiar with that property as well. We'll put the links to the other people that we referenced that, you know, were here speaking on their expertise in the notes as well, because I think it's just valuable for, as all of us evolve, to learn from each other, especially as we grow in this space. Because like you said at the beginning, like, we learn so much just by coming back here. Some of it's refresher, some of it's reminder, but a lot of it is also how these platforms are evolving so fast and helping keeping us educated as we go, which is another reason why we're doing this podcast.
Right.
So anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. This is the Social Currency Marketing Podcast, where we catch you up every week on all the things digital marketing, social media for your business, so you can walk into whatever you're doing, whether it's a meeting, engagement with a client or whatnot, and be able to talk the talk, understand what's happening, and take what's current and apply that to your business strategy right now. Check out our site, socialcurrencyshow.com. You can also sign up for our newsletter, where every Monday we'll send you an update on the show, as well as the tidbits. Our blog is on there as well, and you'll get updates from not only what's in the show notes, but other things that we're thinking about as we go. Check us out, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Jessica K. Jensen and @TuckRoss. Thank you guys so much for listening. Jess, so good to hang out with you again live here in San Diego from the Social Media Marketing World event. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
See ya.